You're listening to The Leonard LoPate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Potiche, Francois Ozon's new comedy, was the opening night film at Lincoln Center's Rendezvous with French Cinema earlier this month. It was also a selection for the 2010 Venice and Toronto Film Festivals. It's been a critical and box office hit in France, where it received four César nominations, which is France's equivalent to the Academy Awards, for Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Costume Design. And it reunites two French cinema legends, Catherine Deneuve and Gérard Depardieu, in an ensemble cast that includes Fabrice Luchini, Karen Viard, Judith Godrèche, and Jeremy Renier. It opens today at the Paris Theater, the Angelica Film Center, and the Clearview Cinema. And I'm very pleased to welcome Catherine Deneuve back to our show to talk about it. There'll also be a retrospective of her films at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. A lot of different things happening involving you. Isn't this a rather free adaptation of what's called a Boulevard theater play that was a hit?
Yes, absolutely. It's a play from the 80s that François Ozon adapted from. It was a play from Barry et Grédy.
They're the same people who wrote Cactus Flower.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Now, what does a Boulevard theater play mean? Because we don't call anything in this country a Boulevard
play. I would say it's like a light comedy, you know, the play. When François adapted the play to be in a film, he changed a few things that they would be more political intentions about what happened. You know, actually, the film is taking place in the 70s, earlier than the play.
The play was in the 50s.
No, the 80s. The 80s.
But the play took place in the 50s, even though it was...
The play takes place in the 50s, but it was done in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And François adapted the play to be in the 70s. And there were more political, you know, situations that he would use for the film, like the liberation of women starting to work, which was quite, you know, difficult for women at the time. And also because of this this period of time, you know, even visually, you know, he thought it was more interesting.
Well, feminist, the women's movement was very big in this country by the 70s, but not in France?
Yes, in France as well, yes.
Well, what does the title mean, Potiche?
Potiche, it's very difficult because they try to find the equivalency, you know, to find the title for America, and it's very difficult because they at one time they used the expression a trophy wife, but it's not that exactly. A potiche is a sort of vase, you know, a sort of big vase who looks good. You put somewhere on the shelf. And you say that's a good vase, but there is not much use for it, just to look decorative, you know. And that's what a potiche is. But in the sort of mean way, or in the play, it means a wife that is just there to be there, but that you don't respect that much because she's just there, take care of the house, take care of the children, take care of the dog, you know. But and actually, her husband is quite nasty with her.
Mm. But she is obviously very smart.
Yeah.
but devotes most of her time to keeping physically fit and writing poetry. She writes a poem about a squirrel.
She runs the house. She married this man. She was the daughter of the owner of the fabric of Umbrellas that my husband is running in the film. And she's a nice person, you know. She tries to make things work, you know, the house to work, the relation between father and daughter or father and a son, which is not that easy because my son is a more artistic person than what my husband would have liked. So she always tried to, you know, to make things nice and right for everybody. So she's not treated too well because she's always has to be on one side or the other.
To some degree, she's also what we would call a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Weren't you one of the women who signed Simone de Beauvoir's manifesto of the 343 in 1971, which demanded
Absolutely.
Open access to abortion?
Yeah.
How do you think that Suzanne Pujol, the character you play in Potiche, would have thought about that?
Well, I'm sure if Suzanne Pujol had been at the time already, you know, starting to work in the factory, to meet women who work, you know, all the workers at the factory of Umbrellas and speaking with women, aware of their situation because she's a good listener, maybe she would have signed the manifest as well.
But she is willing to put up with an awful lot of stuff from her husband. I mean, he is obviously cheating on her all the time, and she's cheating on her, you know. Yeah, but she brings money to this relationship. You would have thought at a certain point she would have considered divorce.
No, because she likes her husband despite all the difficulties and his incredible and mean character. She loves him. He's also the father of her children, and it's like that at the time, you know. It's not people wouldn't get divorced that much as we do now today.
Mm-hmm. In France, anyway.
In France, yeah, you're right. In France, because here it's very rare to see a marriage that lasts more than 3 or 4 years. Huh?
No.
Yes,
but if people have these kinds of problems, I mean, he is a despicable character.
No, but here in America, people get married twice or three times without any problem. You know,
isn't that the norm?
No, it's not the norm in Europe. I don't. It's not a judgment. It's a fact.
Yeah. Well, what we're seeing more and more in Europe, but not during the time of this film, is people aren't getting married at all.
Yeah.
And you once said
more and more.
You once said marriage is obsolete and a trap.
Well, no, I didn't say it was a trap because I think you're not caught into it, but you can also, you know, just fall in love and get married because you fall in love, which doesn't mean you are going to love someone for forever. No, I just don't think it's a necessity, but I understand very well why people want to get married. I just think, you know, it's not maybe it's not something I'm looking for, but I've got nothing against it. No.
Well, you did marry once to a famous photographer, David Bailey.
Yeah.
My guest is Catherine Deneuve, who is the star of a new film from François Ozon called Potiche. One aspect of the plot involves a labor dispute, and to American tourists in France, it always feels like there's some kind of strike going on that's disrupting things. American unions have been under attack recently, and I don't know if you've been following this in your newspapers, but they've been attacked in Wisconsin, Ohio, a number of other states. Could a French politician propose ending union collective bargaining rights and get away with it?
Would propose what?
Well, they're getting rid of collective bargaining rights for unions.
No, it's not possible. In France, it wouldn't be possible. You know, those are things that have been acquired, and I don't think that workers would be ready for that. But it's true that you have a right of strike, you know, in France, that some people sometimes, especially here, joke about it, you know, say, oh, you're not on strike again. But actually, at that time in the 70s, and it still happened recently in France, you know, the boss of the factory was captured by the workers and stayed sometimes 2 or 3 days or even a week, you know, until they get what they want from the.
It's suggested in this plot as well.
Yes, it is. He is. At the beginning, he is. That's why he has this sort of stroke afterwards.
In the film, Gérard Depardieu plays Maurice Babin, the communist mayor of the provincial town that the film is set in. He's a former labor leader who also represents the area in the French parliament. Is that common, that a mayor would also be a delegate to the parliament?
I think it can happen.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen here. You're either the mayor or you're the...
You can.
The congressman or the senator.
Yeah. It's much more separated, you mean, you cannot accumulate different... No, in France, it's less than it used to be, but still it is.
And he's a communist, which in this country would have made him an unacceptable member of a love triangle.
Why?
I don't think we've ever had a communist mayor in the United States.
And if no?
We had... Joe McCarthy would have taken care of that.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure at the time. Yes, that's sure.
One of the subplots involves class, doesn't it? I mean, this is because he is of the she is a woman who
she's a sort of bourgeoise. She was from
she's
the bourgeoisie.
An bourgeois.
Yes, she was also the daughter, you know, of the owner of the factory. So he's represent the workers of the factory. They are from different worlds, but that exists, you know. Everywhere, you know, you are from different, and it doesn't mean that you are better or that you cannot get in touch or cannot fall in love, which is actually the case in the film. We know that they had a love adventure when they were much younger, both of them.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that this film's producers, Eric and Nicolas Altmaier, originally approached François Ozon to direct a film about the life of Nicolas Sarkozy?
Yes, it's true. It is true.
Wow, this is a far... cry from that.
Yeah, but actually they did the film with another director because François Ozon didn't want to do it, but they just produced the film that is going to be released very soon. Yes, they did the film.
On the other hand, there was a woman running, if I remember correctly, for the presidency in the 2007
election. Yes, Ségolène Royal. Yes.
So was that something that François was thinking about when he came up
with this? Well, it is in a way because that's the play he wanted to adapt for quite a long time, you know, this play, Potiche. And he was not sure how and when. When we had the presidential elections, you know, 3 years ago, that's when he saw Ségolène Royal and Nicolas Sarkozy during the debates and on television and what they said in the papers, because it was very hard on her, you know, being a woman. It was the first time ever a woman was presenting for being a president of France. And he said, that's it. I know now that I want to do the film and I know how I'm going to do it, because he saw this sort of rivality between a man and a woman, you know, at the same level of power. And that's when he decided to do the film.
I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but she does run for office at one point.
Yeah. Mm.
And that allows you to actually sing in this film. This is not a musical.
It's not a musical, but, you know, François, he likes, you know, songs. And often in his films, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one of the characters can start singing. He's been doing that in a few films. And I'm singing a song of Jean Ferrat at the end of the film, which is a song of that period of the 70s.
And he has a number of songs from the period in the film.
Yes, yes.
You've also said that you love the old American comedies and the American comic actors like Ernst Lubitsch, the great director.
Even the new ones, huh?
Yeah,
I love the film of
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow, and I love Will Ferrell. There are a lot of, actors that I love from that comedies.
And America had, we had Charlie Chaplin, you had Jacques Tati, but...
Yes.
We can argue over who was better, but there were a lot more. There was a lot wider range of comedy in Hollywood at the time.
Yes,
and I was thinking about your career. You've been in 100 or so films. How long before you actually appeared in a comedy?
Well, I did a comedy quite a long time ago. I don't know if it was shown here, but I did one of my first film was a comedy with Jean-Paul Rapneau. It was called Life in a Castle. It took place during the Second World War. And it was a very, very nice film. So it's just that after that, I was not proposed that many comedies. It's very difficult to find good script, you know, for comedies.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a real comedian, you know, if you're an actress or an actor and just to be in a comedy, it's very difficult.
Well, people say that you got to be a good actor to do well in a comedy.
Yeah.
And all they were casting you in were these really serious roles, often somebody who's very troubled, which also required really good acting ability.
Yeah, but, you know, even the directors I know with who I've been working, you know, they love comedies. You know, François Truffaut, Roman Polanski, I mean, they love comedies.
But Polanski put you in Repulsion.
Yes, I know, but Polanski did also a comedy, you know. But it's very difficult to write the script of a comedy, you know, to have the good rhythm. It's very difficult.
Well, Buñuel did comedies, but he put you.
Yeah, but he didn't do that many.
In Belle du Jour.
Not that many comedies, Buñuel. Not that many. At the end, when he did films in France, a little more, but it was a little bitter, you know. It was not real comedies.
But is it, you're saying that there just weren't that many good comedies in France, so you didn't get offered the roles?
There are not that many comedies being made in France, you know. It's because the people I work with, you know, the directors, they have difficulties to write or to find a script writer to write a comedy. And I know several who would love to do a comedy.
This is your second film with François Ozon. The first, Eight Women, was also a big hit in France and in this country.
Yes, yes.
So, and that was based on a play as well?
It was a play, but the film respected, you know, completely the play, because it was like a thriller. There was a sort of mysterious thing and a murder in the film. And it was like a theater play. We are on one set and everything took place in one day and a half.
And you sang in that film as well.
Yeah, we had to sing, yes, all of us.
Have you always wanted to sing?
No, it's not that I wanted to sing. I like to sing, like a lot of actors do like to sing. You know, it's just that you don't have that often the occasion.
I once asked an actor about how well he did in a singing role. I said, had you always wanted to be a singer? He said, no. I said, well, how come you did such a good job? He said, well, I saw it as acting. I was acting the role of a singer.
Ah.
I don't know if you think that way or whether this is just the way you sing around the house.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with that. Yes, yes. But actors are very often when I speak with actors and actresses, they love to sing, you know. They really love to sing.
When did he approach you about this? Did he ask you to look at the play?
No, I didn't want to see the play before we did the film, no, because the play had been filmed, but I didn't see it. No, it took him, you know, he was quite fast on that project to write the script and to put the film together, quite fast, less than a year.
And then this is not the first time you've worked with Gerard Depardieu either.
No, I've done several films with him.
Is that fun? When you know an actor and you know his pace and the way he's going to react to certain kinds of lines.
I like very much to work with Gerard Depardieu. He's a very good and very nice partner. He loves actresses and he's a very generous person. You know, you feel very, very uplift, you know, and protected by him.
That's important for an actor you're working with to be generous?
Well, I think it's important anywhere in life, you know, to be a generous person. Yes, it helps for a lot of things.
Well, I'm sure Fabrice Luchini is a generous person, but he plays a very
mean character.
Mean guy here.
I don't know him as well in life, so I don't know.
You don't get to know people while you're working on a film like this?
Well, it depends. But Fabrice Luchini was always, when he was not working on the set, he was going away because he's also very much on theater. And he was doing a sort of tournée, you know, of a play. So when he was not shooting with us, he was always outside, away.
Tell us about the retrospective. Now, the BAM is going to do a retrospective of your films. Mm-hmm. You've done 100 films or so.
Yeah.
I imagine they can't show them all.
I think they are showing, I think, 25, something like that.
And did you have a say in which ones were selected?
Well, they send me a list, you know, of a proposal, and I said yes. I thought it was a very good choice.
Mm-hmm. You must have favorites. Or are the favorites the ones that were important to your career? For example, working with Polanski, working with Buñuel, working with Truffaut.
Well, you see, for example, Buñuel, I think... I know. I preferred the shooting of Tristana, the second film I did with him, but I know that Belle de Jour is much more known, you know, for me as a film with Buñuel, but my preference goes to Tristana. So sometimes it's not exactly because of the success that you really like the film, you know.
You'd made a number of films before. You made one with Jacques Demy, but that's how.
I made several with Jacques Demy.
And then that's how we discovered you here.
Yes, absolutely.
And you sang in those films also, but did you do the singing?
No, I was not doing the singing then. It was very difficult. And Michel Legrand, who wrote the music, wrote a very, very difficult music that could be sung only by professional singers.
But lip-syncing somebody else's voice, is that
difficult? Oh, it's
difficult,
yeah. When it's not your voice and you haven't done it, it's very difficult, yeah.
So I'd assume those films are included, including
yes.
Umbrellas of Cherbourg, which you did with your sister.
Yeah, Young Girls of Rochefort, yes.
So, and this covers a career that goes back to when you were just a teenager.
Well, I was quite young when I did my first film, yes. Actually, when I did Umbrellas of Cherbourg, I was 19. Mm-hmm. And I had done only a few, very few films before that. But yes, it's true. I started quite young, 16.
Have you ever thought, well, gee, I'd like to take a little break from all of this?
Well, I don't know what would be a break. It means to you to stop working.
Yeah, stop working for a while.
To take what you call a sabbatic year.
Yes.
Well, sometimes it happened that I didn't work, you know, for several months. But I never thought of really leaving or saying, you know, I stopped for 2 or 3 years because... That's not the way I live. I always had children. I was always in town, always busy, always... So it was not my kind of thinking, no.
And your daughter has become something of a star in her own right.
Yeah, she's an Kiara. Actress. Yes, yes. I just finished a film with her.
People often talk to you about the importance of the way you look to your career. It seems to me it was both a benefit, but also could have been a bit of a curse.
Well,
because people make certain assumptions?
Well, yes, but you know, a curse, we must not exaggerate because I think there are more advantages to have a certain kind of physical appearance, you know, especially when you start as a young girl than the other way around, you know. Some wonderful actresses had to fight, you know, their appearances to be able still to appear in good, important films. So I couldn't say it's really a curse, but it's true that for a certain part, I'm sure that some directors would not consider me, of course, for certain parts.
Well, in this country, if a woman makes a name for herself, partly because she's very beautiful when she's young, that usually affects her career later in life. It's harder for her to get parts. But you have worked steadily throughout your whole career.
I was quite lucky. It's true.
But well, it also helped that you're a good actress.
Well, I don't think it has much to do, you know, with being a good actress to make an important career, because sometimes you see medium, you know, average actors making a great career because they make very commercial films and people will go to see them. So, no, but I suppose it's more the choice I've made, you know, and the people I worked with that sort of, it was never really like a trailer that I would follow, you know, it was more unusual than it could have been.
Was there ever a moment when you thought, oh, gee, I really am a good actress?
Sometimes it can happen when I see a scene or when I, but not very often, you know. Actors most of the time are very critical to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Didn't hurt that you also held on to your good looks, so you can still play a glamorous woman who Gerard Depardieu is lusting after here in this film. And the film we've been talking about is Potiche, which opens today at the Paris Theater, the Angelika Film Center, and the Clearview Cinema. There's also a retrospective, or at least a limited retrospective, of the Catherine Deneuve film oeuvre. Should I use that word?
Oeuvre. I mean, it's not my oeuvre, you know. I'm just an interpreter.
That's going to be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Potiche not only stars Catherine Deneuve, but also Gerard Depardieu. And a wonderful cast, many of them incredibly adept at comedy. Fabrice Luchini, Karen Viard, who's just wonderful in this.
Yeah, she was nominated for the César, yeah.
And Judith Godrèche, who...
Jérémy Régnier, who does my
plays
son.
Your son.
Yeah.
And I thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.